He had a bell.
And well, after he told a joke, he would hit the bell.
Well, that sounds like a great gimmick. So he does have something.
Because then I had to follow him. And I remember I just went on stage and I was like, I'm straight. Ding! That is
so funny. So wait, so he hit the bell after he said the N-word? He was like, N-word, ding.
Pretty much, yeah.
That's jeez. Hilarious. He Pavlov'd N-word. The whole room did Pavlov's N-word.
Oh.
Pavlov's
he's
dog.
Training everybody to say it. He's trying to train you to say the N-word.
That's how Hitler would have open mic'd. So keep an eye on River or whatever his name is.
That's
I'm
how
go
Hitler would have open mic'd. Dude, just a speedball and a bell. Just
oh, they really should have let him into that art school.
What in tarnation?
Tonight, May 29th, Gig Harbor, Washington, in the Bay by Seattle. May 30th through June 1st, Tacoma Comedy Club with Jason Mewes. June 5th, Huntsville, Alabama, Stand Up Live. June 6th through 8th, I'm back with Jason Mewes in Louisville. Back with him again June 13th through 15th in Oklahoma City. Then I'm headlining in Tulsa June 27th through 29th. I'm doing a full weekend, so you can see you there. July 11th through 13th, I'm going to Winnipeg with Jason Mewes. I'm going to try and add some more Canada stuff around that and hopefully do a full tour and find all of you guys that are up there that know I exist. July 18th, Austin, Texas. July 19th and 20th, Fort Worth, Texas. Then July 24th, Columbus, Ohio. 25th, Cincinnati, Ohio. 26th, Cambridge, Ohio. 27th, Canton, Ohio. July 28th, Toledo, Ohio. And that entire week in Ohio, I am co-headlining with Cam Bertrand, my dude from AGT and Wildin' Out. So come see us in Ohio. And then August 11th, Phoenix, Arizona at the Desert Ridge Improv. I have more dates coming soon, but you can buy tickets for all of those and follow along and see where I'm going to be next at ajwilkerson.com.
Wow.
But now when you guys are on the road, especially with the audience that AJ brings in, is everybody, do you feel like when you're in those places, like everybody's on board from the jump because they know you, or do you still have some people to win over?
His crowds are just so good. AJ has like the best crowds. They're just there for comedy.
Yeah.
And if you just go up there and talk to them and be yourself.
Yeah.
I haven't had any issues.
That's awesome.
Three weeks ago, I didn't even know these two, and right. Now they're like feel like my siblings. You know, just like real family. So it's like that speaks volumes. And I told them at the very start that part of the reason I felt comfortable to go along was like not only just like how they felt to me individually, but also the crowds. I knew I was plugging in from that Clinton Street show when I kind of stretched before they came, off this Amtrak.
Oh, I heard
that I was
that.
In the presence of good audiences. And I wanted to, like, you know, these are also clubs that I want to headline on my own in the future. And, you know, I'm working in that middle tier that we can tell is, like, bottomless. Mm-hmm. So it was, like, a beautiful extension and ability to be able to, like, come along. But I was so spoiled by their audiences. I'm always like, I'll come along anywhere.
Anytime I go on the road with AJ, I just feel very lucky.
Yeah.
Like, it makes everything else, like, worth it, because the clubs and the crowds and just everything's just... Even the worst day is nothing compared to staring at two people and sweating your dick off.
For sure.
And that's what's been fun for me, like, bringing everybody with me is because, like, I want to put on a good show, and, like, picking up Hannah in Portland, like, watching Hannah crush, like, okay, cool. So if Sydney and Thomas and Hannah are all crushing on my shows, then it's not just, do you know what I mean? People aren't just there to see me.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So it's not, it becomes less likely to be like an echo chamber.
Yeah, I was wondering about that.
It's just like, oh, I can say anything I want and it's going to get a laugh. It's like, no, I have to step my game up because everybody's funny. And there would be a noticeable decline if I just wasn't up to that standard.
And for the crowd, it's extra special. Before I even started doing comedy, it's like the coolest thing if you like go to a show in New York or seeing a headliner And then unexpectedly, they bring out one of their buddies. Mm. And you're like, oh my God, this became a whole different thing.
Yeah.
So it's like, even for someone like me, I'm not trying to take audience away. We just like, but we're in a place now in the world where it's like, most people love all kinds of comedians. They're not just psycho about one person.
Yeah.
And they love just like spreading that kind of like joy around, especially when their favorite comic says, hey, here are the people I fuck with at any given time. And you know, there's something beautiful to that. That's also, we were talking a lot about lack and just those things like it's, but you know, it's, that's pressure on a headliner too, though. You bring another headliner around, all of a sudden, you know, you're like, you got to do your, some of your best work when you already have a fan base. It doesn't make it any less 60 minutes on stage. You know, so it's like when he came up to me after his birthday show in Vegas and was like, hey, you made it, like, you put pressure on me tonight. And I wasn't even, I wasn't even out there what I felt like shooting heaters. I was just doing this like little soft boil that I like to do of who I am. But just hearing that even on my level felt so just beautiful, thankful, and, you know, just a reminder. Yeah, buddy, be careful about the people you bring along in the future so your ass doesn't have to work so hard every night, too.
No, 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 I want to work hard. I know. I have that mentality.
That Vegas, your Vegas set.
Yeah, that Vegas set was...
That was such a fun show.
It was fun. Fucking ripped it.
But that was what was fun, was watching you in Vegas, because you have that style where you, like, poke around all the edges and figure out where... And you're like, oh, there's the soft spot. And then you just hammer and you murder. And so that's what was fun, is like watching you murder. I was like standing in the back and I was like, okay.
Oh, yeah, proud
okay,
dad.
Yeah. Okay.
It's
like in sports. Do you know what I mean? It's like watching somebody hit like three or four big shots and then knowing like, oh, they're about to get subbed out and I'm about to go in. That means now I got to hit big shots. Yep. Let's go.
Put me
it
in,
like
coach.
Fires you up.
For
yeah.
sure.
So that's what was fun, is like watching that and then being like, oh, okay, I have to at least match this energy. Let's go.
And it is a good spot for you to be in, because like you said, it could become an echo chamber with where you're at, where they're just so thrilled to see you and you want to know, is my material good? Like, is this going to work maybe when I go to a room where fewer people know me? And so if you guys are upping the bar, that's huge.
And Sydney was crushing every night. She might not say this, you know, and she might not say, well, those three dudes smokes and that jokes. Smokes and jokes.
I'm never going to live that down.
Yeah. She might not say those boys bomb, but the point is, the truth of the matter is, She was setting a wild pace from the start. So if he's talking about, if we're going to talk about this like sports ball, I'm always happy to dice things up that way. We went and watched the Pacers last night, and I'm like in my little childhood jersey at a Nashville bar. She
basketball?
Put sound on for me. Oh my God.
I got it.
Thank you. Yeah.
But that's how it was. I had to come out sharp because they were already starting sharp. So there was nothing to do, but also, you know. You know, but this is also a matter of, like, trust. These are some people that have, like, you know, that we've settled into ourselves. We're not pulling a lot of punches, but we have very complimentary energy. And it was beautiful to see. I just knew there was, like, people coming up to me after those shows and being like, bro, that's one of the best shows from start to finish we've seen ever. Like, people just out of nowhere, you know, but because it was. It's, like, such four different POVs, but everybody being like, just where you're like, oh, this still makes a lot of sense. It felt very familial.
Yeah. And it also was cool, like, watching in real time, seeing, like, word getting out about how good the shows have been. Like, when we went to Salt Lake City, the downtown Salt Lake Wise Guys, one of the manager from the Jordan Landing Wise Guys came to our show to watch our show. Because he was like, I've heard you've been crushing it. I wanted to see it. And he's like, this is the best show I've seen at any of the Wise Guys locations ever. And I was like, what the fuck, dude?
What is the crowd in Salt Lake City?
They were
comedy
in
crazy.
Yeah.
Okay. Because you know what I'm thinking. Uptight Mormons.
No.
Okay.
No. Loose
they've,
Mormons.
They've, yeah. Well, so they've
reformed.
They've
yeah.
They do all the dry bars out there.
Right.
So I was kind of expecting the same thing. I was like, oh, they're going to be expecting cleaner comedy. Yeah.
Right.
I was afraid.
I think they marked them pretty well out there, like what's clean, what isn't. Mm. So the people that only want clean comedy only show up for like marked clean or family comedy.
Because you don't want.
Yeah. But so the people that show up are people that are there for what you're bringing to the table.
Interesting.
Like, yeah.
They were fun.
Very fun. I helped a couple get engaged.
On stage?
Yeah. On stage, yeah.
How did you get looped into that?
So he reached out and like messaged me on Instagram and was like, you know, my girlfriend and I are coming to your show. We're huge fans. I was wondering if you could like help me propose to her.
Oh my gosh.
And so we set it up. I told him, I was like, when you guys, before you leave the house, like take like a picture together and then send it to me secretly so I know what you're wearing. I can like look for you guys beforehand. Oh, smart. So I had already spotted like where they were, and I ended the show, said goodnight, walked off stage, and then got turned around because people were starting to stand for a standing ovation. So I was like, oh shit, let me run back up there real quick. So a little encore, get my standing ovation, and then came back off again. And then Sydney was like, oh, don't forget the proposal. And I was like, oh shit. So I had to run back up again.
A double encore.
Watching ADHD in action. I'm done. No, I'm not. I'm like Tom Brady retiring.
I'm literally covering my face because in all these stories happening, we're all coming through different lenses. Yeah. So, you know, hearing you say that, I'm cracking up because me and Sid were sitting in the back for probably like
most of the set.
Yeah. So, like, as it's getting closer, I've got my camera phone out because we've already heard about this on the bus. I don't want anything to do with men anymore, but like, I'll still cry at the Titanic if I'm on my period. I want the best for everyone. My parents have been married my whole life. It's fine. There's, you know, and I was like ready and I'm amped. And then he goes off and I'm sitting there kind of like, okay. And then I'm like, okay. And then he comes up a second time and then he goes off. I'm like saying to Sydney, I'm like, is he, are we just like, you already had gone down. Yeah, to say whatever's happening.
So I saw, I was like, he's not going to remember. I saw the look in his eyes and I was like, he thinks he's done.
Yeah.
Yep.
He's going to hit his vape and then run to the merch line.
Yep, I thought it was done, and then I had to go back out there. And it was funny to me because I had already come off stage twice at this point. When I went back up, I was like, my social meter, like my battery for being up there, was just so empty.
Yeah.
And then when I called him on stage, she was like in shock, and I was like, we don't have time for this. Get up here.
But it all worked out. They got engaged.
It all worked out.
Love is love.
She said yes.
She said, can you imagine she didn't? Actually, it would be great material.
Oh, my God. Dude.
We had kind of walked through that potential.
Yeah. That was the first thought I had. I was like, what if she says no?
You just got to be ready for something to deflate. I can't. Like, when you see those Jumbotron fails and, like,
When he didn't get down on one knee, I was like, oh.
He didn't do it?
No. But maybe something's wrong with his knee.
He seemed like an older fella. Yeah.
Oh,
so.
My God. Okay. But from an outsider perspective, I was like, oh no.
No, I had the same thought for a second. I was like, should I say something?
You just got down?
Yeah, just behind
you. Do it as a proxy.
Did you ask her dad?
Oh.
You're like, no, he's dead. He's been in the dirt for years. We're old.
He's in prison.
Yeah. But I will say, from the way back, what I could see of it, they really love each other. Oh, like, even when she turned around and the way they, like, embraced each other.
Yeah.
Like, you can't bullshit a feeling.
Yeah.
And it was like she was bright-eyed, and you could tell they probably both had former marriages and just, like, grown-up kids. It's that kind of thing. But it felt nice. It was really, like, it was, the whole thing was like, oh, duh.
Yeah,
it was
one of those, like, when they tie the knot, these two are dying together.
Oh.
You know?
Yeah.
I was going to say love that, but...
They were also, he was wearing Dixon.
He was wearing a
Shout
Dixon.
Shout out Dixon.
Yeah, he was wearing the Marley.
Yeah, it's our sponsor. They do like flannels.
Oh, and,
yeah.
Very cool.
Dixon flannel.
Yeah.
Oh, very cool.
Yeah. I'm wearing a Mac Miller shirt, not a. Yeah, I thought you looked over.
Like, is that one of those? No. Mac Miller performed at my fraternity year, like way before he was famous.
Where?
Yeah, at my university. I went to school at Penn in Philly. And he like came randomly and like, I don't know, he was in that circuit, right? Like, he clearly had something that was like, we felt like he was a draw, but he certainly wasn't what he would go on to become. And he like hung out in our basement, did a few songs, and then hung out upstairs. So, so random. Cool. I know.
It is. That's like so what we're talking about. But that's the intimate nature of creativity, where, you know, even there's comedians that run only a college circuit.
Yeah.
And these are things I'm only learning as I'm starting to be around places and being in green rooms around people that really have like a whole production happening. And they're like, yeah, we got an agent just for my college.
Yeah.
I got an agent just for commercials. I've got an agent. I'm like, I don't even have an agent yet. One agent. You guys are splitting hairs now. But, you know, that's a whole nother thing, too. But that's so cool to think about someone like Matt coming through in those ways. And when you're a person like him, that causes people to have that, like, feeling of a lost icon gone too soon, you know, then it's extra special getting to see them in those ways. And it's like cool to even have comedy shows like that too, where you're just like, oh, for a couple people, this will be the coolest thing they've ever seen.
Kind of like your Broadway thing. Like, I'm sure when he was in that basement, like, you know, we were all drunk and it probably wasn't the best show he's ever been to, but like people remembered it. Yeah. And like, that's how you work your way up and get onto the bigger stuff and like pay dues. But it's just like in the moment, it can be hard to remind yourself, like, yeah, like when you and I sit at the back of Third Coast Comedy and give each other looks like we're menaces. I really wish you were there on Monday. Like everyone's out there just trying to pay their dues. I guess us included.
I love it. I don't know what it is, but whenever we're at the back of Third Coast, me and him at the mic, we just can't not laugh.
We just have the best time.
We have the best. Like, even if no one else is laughing, we're laughing.
We're finding some humor in the situation, I think.
Well, it's what you just said, and there will be always humor.
Yes.
Oh my God.
Like when that white guy said the N-word that one time.
I don't like that.
I wasn't in the room for that one. Yeah.
I literally, because like Miriam's hosting, and I was just like, I'm like, look, you weren't there, but I was like.
Yeah, I remember being out in the foyer for that one.
And
I was like,
hard on. I had to go next.
Oof.
No, color black and Spanish is what he said. Like the,
I just went back to high school Spanish and was like,
it's fine. I mean, I was just curious. Yeah.
But it's, that's beyond the pale. And also, you're at an open mic. Like, not that that's ever acceptable, but what are you doing? Like, why is that what you want to go spend your Monday night?
Yeah, and he had a bell. And after he told a joke, he would hit the bell.
Well, that sounds like a great gimmick. So he does have something.
Because then I had to follow him, and I remember I just went on stage and I was like, I'm straight. Ding!
That is so funny.
Wait, so he hit the bell after he said the N-word? He was like, N-word, ding.
Pretty much, yeah.
That's hilarious. He Pavlov'd N-word, dude. The whole room, dude. Pavlov's N-word.
Oh.
Pavlov's
He's
dog.
Training everybody to say it. He's trying to train you to say the N-word.
That's how Hitler would have open mic'd. So keep an eye on River or whatever his name is.
That's
I'm
how
go
Hitler would have open mic'd. Dude, just a speedball and a bell. Just
oh, they really should have let him into that art school.
I mean, this is how it always goes. This is a tale as old as time.
Oh my God.
Here in
tale as old as time.
It is. It is. Like,
oh my God.
Wrongs as much as rhymes. I'm dead because I don't mic much currently because of just I'm getting enough stage time and I'll like always run new material as I know, just a constant something of swirling things. So I'm not at a loss of it. But hearing that kind of shit, I was the same kind of person. If I hang too long at the office, I'll turn into a mean girl. I just am outing myself. I'm sorry. You're gay. I have to talk to you like you know. And Bobby, I'm 40 years old, and I've been meditating for the past 4 years, and I like want equanimity for all people, and I like want to use my platform for like bigger shit than my pussy. And this is it's a change. But the point
you're going real big.
That's where my mind went with it, but I was like, I don't know if we're close enough yet. I was like, I'm just gonna sit on that
one. X Games big. All right.
Sean, you've got some real ambitions here.
I do. I'm trying to help. I want to be a help.
Oh,
God, make me a helper or make the rapture real. One way or the other. I got 5 good sets left. I am fatigued.
I have 5 good sets.
Every day I don't get killed by an incel who's also a fan. I'm like, whoa, look at this.
Oh, my God.
Woo, some razzle dazzle.
Oh, my God.
Get me good.
Holy shit,
that was great. Oh, my God. Mean girls.
But I mean that. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah,
most comics are just like humans. They're just disgruntled and they're not moving their own shit around in a healthy way. So like when I come back in, I'm always like, oh, fuck.
Yeah.
I forgot people are talking like that. And there's no judgment. I'm a shit brick. I'm a historic 40-year-old. Run back the tapes. I'm in trouble.
from Back to the Tank.
I mean, you know what I mean?
It's hilarious.
Read the transcript.
All that beautiful bean footage.
I'm fucked, bro. I sound worse than the founder of Papa John's and exactly the same. I'm in trouble. I'm from Indiana. We said stuff. And I'm 40, you know?
Oh, like, it was a different time.
My first friendship bracelet spelled retard. It's worth, if you look at everything, it's a lot.
But yeah. Your most recent friendship bracelet also spelled retard.
They gave it to me.
Oh.
It's AJ's new merch.
It's really come it really? Full circle, dude, just no. like that bracelet.
No, but I now am going to start making them handcrafted for you guys.
A handcrafted retard bracelet goes so hard. Dude, oh. It's like the R is upside down or something. God damn it. The D's backwards.
It's like, don't all friendship bracelets spin upside down? What kind of friendship bracelets
one of, one of my new things, me and Taryn have been, it's like an, it started as an inside joke with us, but one of my new things is calling people sweet little ding-dongs. Is, oh, you sweet little ding-dongs.
I love that. Wait, yeah. So that's an insult?
Yes.
Oh.
Have you heard that often?
I know. I've been called so many mean things that I'm like, oh, that sounds nice.
Yeah. Sounds very kind.
I like exactly. an insult that sounds nice.
Exactly.
Those are the most
the bless your
my,
heart.
That's my bless your heart.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Oh, you sweet little dingo.
Oh, I love that. Oh, my gosh.
Cream filled and everything.
Yeah, just, oh, you know not what you do. Oh, you sweet little ding-dong.
You put the house.
You should have been there on Monday. It was one of those nights I needed you there to look at. I didn't stay long. I didn't get pulled, so I was like, yeah.
That's so, like, I hate the mics where it's like a bucket thing and you gotta wait and then you just don't know and then you're there for 2 hours and you don't go up and you're like, what am I doing?
Yeah.
But all you need is that one good set to remind me.
All you need is that one to fuel it. Yeah. Seriously.
And it's like, I don't know. It's a part of the do's and the waiting.
Oh,
the,
for sure.
Yeah.
And like, I'm at the point, like on a Monday night, like I want to be engaging with comedy and getting better in any way. And that's the option. Yeah. You know what I mean? At this point for me. And so, but I'm with you, like talking about trying to, because I'm newer to Nashville. So like, when you're doing your stage time, you can work a new material on shows and stuff and kind of test the waters. I still feel like I'm at that point where I like try to bring my A material to every, still trying to like make a name for myself and a reputation. And I would say now that I've been here for like 5-6 months, I'm just starting to like be okay with like failing a little because I feel like people, you know, might know me enough that like if it's one bad set, one bad part that doesn't go well, it's not like, oh, he's, you know.
Yeah, he was just trying something new.
Yeah.
The
yeah.
less I'm on stage, the better my reputation. So, Bobby, I'm a different person. If I'd have started comedy in my 20s, I'd been flying around off an unhinged cunt, just like you see. Across the genders, I'd have been one of the worst. Probably just like, you know, dead in the lap of somebody at the store. It's, you know, off a
what coke. Store?
The comedy store.
Oh. I was picturing you dead at a Ross Dress for Less.
I'm like, Bob, I've been there too.
That's where you go to die.
Yeah, yeah, I think to
it. Bury me in a Buffalo Exchange, like you said.
Dead in Tokyo, Beyond Day Supermarket. Exactly. Exactly.
Medic.
Medic.
But I hear you. But I mean, I say this also as a person who crushed reps. You know, I can also sit over here and say, not only like, do I understand that going into doing any more sets would have its own benefit? Yes, because I understand energy.
Yeah.
Anything I put time into, it's like, oh, I sometimes will look at my calendar and be like, bitch, no one likes me and no one wants me. And I'm like, you haven't asked for anything.
Yeah.
And I actually got a little bit of like, finally, some crypto to be like, and you know, the fact that I've had the experience of a lot of people hearing me and going, no, Hannah fucking rips.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like, I have the time and the experience, you know, so it's like, this is not like, I don't know the mic scene. Honestly, sometimes I just can't be going into like random mics because the tomfoolery it opens up in my mind. Is like going into an AA meeting where I'm like, I didn't actually need to hear all that.
Mm.
You know, like that guy saying, the guy saying the N-word, like, did I do 90 minutes of Kundalini in the morning to hear Trevor?
Wait, is you that know, at the open mic or the AA meeting?
It doesn't matter. They're synonyms. They're the same. It's the same. Same cesspool, Bubs.
Yeah.
And sometimes
a lot of people with problems trying to get things off their chest. Yeah.
I get it. I just feel always so guilty not going to an open. You know, if I have a free night, but I'm with you. There is diminishing returns. Like, I've stopped going, or you know what I've started to do? When I don't want to go, I don't beat myself up afterwards if I didn't go.
Yeah, that I try to like write or like, I need to find like a balance, because it's like, I don't want to go to an open mic if I don't have anything new.
Agreed.
To talk about.
Yeah.
And like Grandpa Bar this past Friday was awesome. And I went and I didn't like write out what I wanted to talk about. I just had like three things. And I was like, these three topics I want to explore. And I just kind of went up without a plan.
Yeah.
And it was so much fun. And it's like, I want to do more of that at mics.
We're like writing on stage almost. Yeah,
where I'm
like,
just
yeah.
like fucking around with some stuff.
It's just God angry at me because of the gay thing.
I know, same.
The storm just follows me around.
I try not to, like, in Nashville too with the mics, there are good nights and good, I want to go to those nights.
Yeah.
So that I feel like I'm not wasting time.
Is there
like I'm being
any
productive.
Night of the week where y'all can mic more than one time in a single night?
Monday, Tuesday.
That's
off the top of my head. That
Friday.
Friday. Where would you pair Grandpa Bar?
Grandpa Bar.
And then. Yeah, I don't know.
I'm always just curious, yeah. You know, because of especially size. I came out of the Indianapolis scene, and you know, I created everything there from show up, go ups to independent shows that kind of run themselves now with you know Proxy. And stepfathers, but it's like, you know, I just ask because it's like that was Indiana was also the kind of place where it's like I had to eventually go to Chicago like I did, not only because I got working at Laugh Factory, but it was also just like I had to, like I, you know, the place where I'm at and the edits that I'm trying to put on my own work required some heavier lifting. So not only just like going into better comics, which is what Chicago's full of. But I always am just kind of curious on any given night of the week in the kind of like the B scenes,
yeah.
How many mics you can get in. Because it's like, yeah. In Indiana, I would have done five if I could have.
Yeah.
You know, but that's like, but if you really want to do that, you move to New York.
Yeah.
You can do five mics in a single borough on any given night of the week. That's the
easily.
Reality. So it's like, if you want to even get crazier where you're at, there's always a feeder scene, so to speak, to do whatever it is that your goals are.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. Nashville, I mean, there are good rooms here. It's just that the nights aren't, like, stacked.
Yeah.
Like some other scenes are, but there's, like, opportunity. And what I like to do, or try to do on a Friday, is Grandpa Bar and then have, like, a show.
Yeah, that's the best pairing. Like, yeah. You can run stuff and then go and do a show. Yeah,
yeah,
I've enjoyed having that in the past.
That's nice.
Yeah.
And Will's usually, if you just go up to him and you're like, hey, I have a show, can I go up early? He's like, yeah.
Yeah.
I like when people, like, work with you, too. It makes it...
Just say shout-outs to everyone not being an asshole
yeah.
at the office. Oh, my God, you can make an accommodation for someone who's working their, you know, tail off?
Yeah.
Yeah, you do. Everyone in the big scenes does that. Like, it's just like, hey, it's not personal.
Yeah.
Be a helper. I don't like giving advice because it's like, hey, everyone's different. But there's just certain trides and trues, that, you know, and it's like, hey, being good will always come back to you.
Yeah.
Somebody
yeah.
will just give you a pass on a later thing on a show that you might need 2 years from now. So, like, just come on.
That's how, like, you also brought up, like, balance and stuff. I think you did or I did, someone did. But I'm trying to, like, figure out a way to, like, balance, like, a healthy life, too.
Yeah.
Dude, I was, the past few months, I just felt like I was not taking care of my body. And then it hurts now. And it's like,
it catches, it's a weird lifestyle. Even like a club week, I did two back-to-back club weekends that required travel. And by getting home that end of that second weekend, my body was just, I was a zombie. I was so tired. I had eaten so poorly.
Dude, I've been sick
I can't even
for like
imagine how
six
you're doing.
Straight weeks.
Yeah.
Dude, I don't know how I'm upright.
I don't know either, honestly. We've got little.
You had 1,300 miles on the road or something like that, right? Like,
yeah.
That'll take it out of you whether you're driving or it's. That's brutal.
Yeah. Ooh, well, yeah. It's just like you haven't gotten a chance to catch your breath to like recover from being sick in the first place. So
no.
It just keeps compounding.
Yeah.
Well, and I think because I went to the doctor. Yesterday,
mm-hmm.
yesterday morning, I went to the Minute Clinic just because I didn't want to have to sit and wait at the VA.
Yeah.
Worth it.
Yeah.
But I have a sinus infection because I had the flu for so long. And because we were traveling so much, I just couldn't get over the flu.
Yeah.
I'd start getting better.
Is that what you think you had?
Yep.
Holy shit.
Yep. So I'd start getting better and then get worse. And so he's like, you probably had flu. Upper respiratory infection, sinus infection.
Oof.
And I was like, fuck, just one right after the other.
Yeah.
The Oprah of sickness.
Yeah, versus where, like, if I had taken a break and just taken care of myself when I had the flu,
right,
I'd have just been fine.
Yeah, but it's hard to do that.
The show must go on.
And we're learning.
Yeah.
Sorry, but, like, nobody teaches us anything practical from Jump Street. And everything they did teach us by 40, I was like, oh, that's actually bad. Columbus wasn't a good dude, and this is a really, you know, ugly look. And so the point is, it's like a lot of this is just day to day, you know, and me getting even into meditation 4 years ago was because I wanted, you know, being 40, it's like I have a little more wisdom finally. Mm. And, you know, I've been 5 years off of booze. So it's like I can really like sit and get clear about some things. And I'm like, hey, I want to already start being the kind of headliner now that I want to be in the future.
I love wearing these flannels.
Because of the thing.
And flannels, because the flannels have these little fucking shirt pockets. Like eyeglass cleaners on the inside.
No way.
Dude, yeah, Dixons are sick, dude. Like I like this one actually. Like so, they make a bunch of sick.
And it's just a guy and his buddy, right?
Yeah, Danny Dixon, and then his buddy Chris. Like they basically have built this empire, dude. Of just wanted like some creative dudes that were like, we don't like the shit other people make. We want to make our own shit, and like, you know, they just wanted more flannels in the world, and they fucking make now. They make the best ones.
Yeah,
the snaps are so strong too. Like I tried one on the other day, and the snaps—they just—they snap together and they hold, which is so nice.
You're just locked into it.
Yeah,
they do those fancy flannels with the buttons and the snaps. They do these like the short sleeve, like the party shirts that I wear in the summers. I'm fucking short sleeves in the summers, flannels all winter, baby.
Do they have a straight jacket version that I can have? they make a straight jacket in medium.
They got some pinstripes. You know, they got some pinstripes. But, dude, their flannels, they have all those. They do these, like, custom collection ones. Like, they do, like, this is fucking the Quack. Dude, this is a fucking Mighty Ducks-themed flannel.
Dude, that's sick. Right? That rips.
That rips. They do these horror-themed ones. Like, this is the Gill Man, based on, like, Creature from the Black Lagoon. Mm. Like, on the inside of the tags and buttons and stuff. Dude, this is the Venkman from Ghostbusters. Dude, look, it's got the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man on the inside.
I loved
dude,
it.
This one is mine. This is my flannel. Dude, I got another one here.
Does it have a cool tag
this
too?
This is the Captain Autism flannel they made for me. That I shot my first special in. Dude, and when the special comes out, Dixon's releasing the Captain Autism flannel to go with the special.
So dope.
That's
dude,
dope.
Dude, they're amazing. We go back like 2 years at this point, dude. They sponsored my special. They sponsor our podcast. Dude, I cannot recommend Dixon Flannel Company enough.
I like that.
I mean, ad aside, I really liked that thing we wore. You let me wear last night at Zany's.
The jacket
was so fucking comfortable.
Dude, there's some fucking beard butter back there. They do beard butter, like men's soaps, like the fancy smelling stuff, like. All sorts of stuff, dude.
That's awesome.
Bum, 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 bum.
Get some Dixon on you.
Get your Dixon.
You got Dixon on you?
Grow your Dixon collection.
Also, upcoming dates. Live shows on the road. We're releasing episodes on Wednesday now. So tonight, May 29th, Gig Harbor, Washington, Seattle. Let's go. Then May 30th through June 1st, I'm in Tacoma, Washington at Tacoma Comedy Club with Jason Mewes. Same thing. I highlighted the wrong ones. Let me see here. I'm going to do this over again.
Yeah,
I fucked that up.
No,
okay.
You're fine.
Tonight, May 29th, Gig Harbor, Washington in the Bay by Seattle. May 30th through June 1st, Tacoma Comedy Club with Jason Mewes. June 5th, Huntsville, Alabama, Stand Up Live. June 6th through 8th, I'm back with Jason Mewes in Louisville. Back with him again June 13th through 15th in Oklahoma City. Then I'm headlining in Tulsa June 27th through 29th. I'm doing a full weekend, so you can see you there. July 11th through 13th, I'm going to Winnipeg with Jason Mewes. I'm going to try and add some more Canada stuff around that and hopefully do a full tour and find all of you guys that are up there that know I exist.
July 18th, Austin, Texas. July 19th and 20th, Fort Worth, Texas. Then July 24th, Columbus, Ohio. 25th, Cincinnati, Ohio. 26th, Cambridge, Ohio. 27th, Canton, Ohio. July 28th, Toledo, Ohio. And that entire week in Ohio, I am co-headlining with Cam Bertrand, my dude from AGT and Wildin' Out. So come see us in Ohio. And then August 11th, Phoenix, Arizona at the Desert Ridge Improv. I have more dates coming soon, but you can buy tickets for all of those and follow along and see where I'm going to be next at ajwilkerson.com.
Also, shout out Cam Bertrand, that guy.
Shout out Cam Bertrand, dude.
He's so fucking funny and such a... I love... Wait, what?
She said, sucks to suck.
Just after we were all whooping, I was like, just hearing all those dates and I got filled with so much, like, joy bubbles. And then I was just like, yeah, sorry about those three dudes that bombed on Smokes and
Jazz. God damn it!
Anybody who doesn't have anything cool like this happen, I'm sorry.
No, I love whenever you, like, because Cam, I saw his Dry Bar special, and I've always really liked him, and, like, he's just funny, and then I got to meet him in person, and it's like, oh, and he's also a good dude.
That's, yeah.
Yeah.
Best combo. If you're fucking good on, love that. Love that.
Yeah. I keep good people around me, dog.
You do, doggy.
I have to, because otherwise, I get taken advantage of. I'm too generous. Mm.
I hate when people do that to you too.
Yeah. Well, like, dude, we started noticing it when we were all on the road together. Like, it used to be like occasionally somebody would show up who was like, oh, like the club booked me a feature, but I was bringing a feature kind of thing. So, and usually people were pretty cool about it and I'd still let them do a spot on the show and stuff. And then now people are like trying to like bully and force their way onto my shows because they see that the show is sold out. Ooh. So they are like doing shady things to try and get on the show.
You're following also. Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah. You don't have a paltry number of eyes on you. So like, this is just like, we can take the ego out of it. I do the business part of this too. And numbers are numbers.
Yeah.
You know, but as you're aware, what we're actually motivated by, it's like, of course I want a following and we'll build one, but it's like not where my heart is. But you slowly start to see this kind of stuff, you know, and how I've even felt kind of like weird in New York going in and, you know, getting past the stand and being in green rooms with people that like I look up to. But I feel like I sometimes don't get as much love as I would if I had like a viral following.
Yeah.
Because like I don't offer a lot of those. And, you know, a lot of them there, it's like, yeah, I'm not saying they're not funny on stage, but they're really motivated. They have teams they're paying out and to do all this kinds of shit. So it's like, I don't really provide them much more than just being a good person that they can, like, shoot the shit with. And it's caused me to sometimes be, like, you know, feeling a lot of doubt.
Yeah.
But just, you know, recognizing that, like, hey, put all this, like I said, the ego out of it and just see it and let everyone be how they want to be. You'll find your own people. Clearly, you know, and you start finding the people that like not only are like getting after it and have these kinds of numbers where things are starting to have to, you have to kind of pay more attention to shit than you ever had before, and that sucks.
How do you navigate that when people are now doing like that shady stuff to like now, like, are you guys working it as a team? Like, how have you approached that?
Well, that's one of those other like factors behind like bringing people that I know and that I like is because I want an altogether good show.
Yeah.
And then also I'm not good at those interactions. I'm not good. Like, I'm not good with strangers, you know. Yeah. I'm a little stranger danger, you know.
I was like in Gig Harbor when the green room got overcrowded and I just looked at him and I was like, there's too many people in here, right? And it's like, okay, I'm gonna shoo these, let's get everyone
just like
out
local
of here.
Scene people who are
the,
hanging around
the green room, like, literally looked, it was the size of and seemed like, because there was like a sink and counter on one side, it looked like they had turned a handicap stall into a green room.
Yeah,
it was really nice, but
it was really
big.
Nice, but yes,
ADA
very
compliant.
Small.
Yes.
And, yeah. But yeah, so it's like basically this like extra large bathroom stall room. Oof. And all of a sudden there's like six people in it and I'm just like, oh, it's too many.
Yeah.
You know? Like it's, oh, we're standing room only in the green room. What is happening?
Yeah, that's why I said it really loud too whenever I looked over at him and I was like, there's too many people in here, right?
Yeah.
And then people leave.
Yeah. I mean, you gotta, and it's, I mean, yeah. it's only gonna get crazier. Yeah. The well, way things are trending.
He's such a nice guy, too.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, like when we were in Texas, we had the shows in Texas. We had a buddy show up to one of the shows, like a comic who had was in one of those situations when I headlined in, like, I think Tulsa the last time. I just did like a Sunday show after Jay, and he was booked by the club, him and another comic. And so he showed up when we were in Dallas just to hang out, like to see the show.
Bought a ticket to
watch the show. And I was like, oh my God, dude. Like, we didn't have enough time to add him to that show that night. But I was like, what are you doing tomorrow? Come do spots in San Antonio.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. And then our buddy,
Davey.
Yeah. Shout out Davey. Was running the show and is who booked us in San Antonio. And when he was there when I got there, so I was like, do you want to do a spot? And he's like, oh, dude, yeah, I wasn't going to, like, ask, but yeah. And then we all ended up staying, hanging out. We did two shows, and then they had an open mic, like a late night open mic after our second show. So we stayed, and our buddy Cam Bertrand came, and then we all, like, stayed and went and did the open mic, too.
Oh, wow.
Just to, like, kind of... Yeah.
It was a dream.
So stuff like that is like super fun. And I love giving people spots and things like that. But it's just like when I was coming up, like there's a way you go about things.
Yeah.
You know? And it's like some comics, like I guess because I was like brought up like by old school comics that like taught me etiquette and things like that. I tend to lean on that. It's like, oh, the people that go about things the right way, I tend to gravitate towards.
Yeah, I mean, I think the folks who do the shady stuff and, like, get really aggressive, I think they don't realize that that can be, like, a short-term success. Sure, you can end up on that show, but at what long-term cost? Yeah. Like, that's now your reputation. Like, you can only get ahead so far playing that game. And I get it. People, I mean, this business is tough. People are, for lack of a better word, desperate at times. Like, we all feel like we're one thing away from that next level, and then... But you really, when I always feel like when it's meant to happen, it will come together. And the people, you have to know when to advocate for yourself, for sure, and when to push. But the people who push too hard, too aggressive, I don't think that works. It's not a long-term strategy.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
No. The bullying your way into something just doesn't feel right. That's like bad juju.
I agree.
It just feels different between force and flow.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, but you know, you'll see the flow person on stage at all times. They're not even always the funniest one, but it's just like.
Sorry. I just
say it to my pussy, please.
Can't flow in the tight. Okay.
Right. Look me in my pussy when you're talking to me.
Look into her labias and say it with your chest.
Only if I can catch you.
Stare into the hand canyon and say the your wishes.
I'm sorry, I think that was going to be a beautiful point about force versus flow, but I just couldn't let the pitch pass. Sports.
Good. You're getting in there. You know what's up.
What were you going to say about force and flow?
Just
knowing that we're only going to hear period for now on.
That's it. There's just different, you know, there's like, hey, I'm sorry, but like if you face life like this or you face life like this, there are different feelings even in your muscles. So it's just like learning how to just like what you're saying, you know. Not be a jackhole.
Yeah.
Man, they can take you so far and, you know, kind of going, elaborating on what we've been talking about. They're just like recognizing that even a no on one night isn't a no forever.
Yeah.
It's just like, it's right then. And then the next day I've gotten a spot. You know, I was very many times, you guys saying that like little configuration of things that happen. I've done that a lot because I recognize how the economy even works. Like supporting a show, even when a homie could give me a free ticket. Well, that's the reason I can go home to Indiana and have humans that don't ever ask me for comps. Like, I have, like, these, like, friends and fans that, like, even if I could give them free tickets at Laugh Factory in Chicago, they'll be like, no, let us buy a ticket because they know how the whole thing moves.
Oh, yeah.
And, like, as comics, like, even at open mics, I've shown up to open mics and got booked. Yeah. What people don't recognize is everything you do, just like throwing a stone in water, has its equal and opposite ripples. We get, you know, we get blinders on even as producers where it's like you just are booking the homies and people that you've like been around. So if I don't see your face, I don't even know who you are. And I sometimes have to even be reminded, you know. And so like these are just like a good moment to remember, like, hey, if you want to work with people, probably if you get into their sight line, that's your best chance to ever end up on stage with that person. instead of whatever, just like sitting, hoping, wishing that something's going to happen to you or that your favorite comic's going to look at your fucking video that's not even getting shown on an algorithm, you know, that punishes any of us that are actually funny. Sorry, but yeah. I like smoke weed and talk about like abortion. Like, I'm never going to be praised by the algorithm. But I also have something that, like, is mine.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. And two people at a time are like, I fuck with that crazy bitch. And in 5 years, that's a small theater for me. Dude, of my own fucking fans.
Dude, that is what has been, like, crazy to me about, like, how, like, that I've grown on social media. Is because I have one of those, I'm not somebody that does well with the algorithm, typically. Like, I've literally watched it happen. I'll, like, grow super rapidly, and then, like, people will report videos and things I'm talking about, and then I'll get, like, watch it get, like, all of a sudden my views are like, oh, why are my only, like, 10,000 people seeing my stuff or whatever, and then it'll like reset again. I'll reset my algorithm, and then it'll immediately, things will go back 100,000 views, 200,000 views, whatever, and just watching that happen back and forth. But it always, when it resets, those people, like the people that like me, always find me.
They will.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They
like
will.
It always gets turned back on. It's like, yeah, what we were talking about on the road, like the, I'm a wellspring, like of just, like talking about like the force versus flow. I can write material and I can just be in the moment and let things rip. And so that is never ending.
And it never shall be. And you know, like attracts like. So like they were a beautiful addition into my scenery because they're the very thing that I kind of like preach and say, hey, hurry slowly. Make your own squawk so you know that a person really likes you for you, and when you drop that mask at the end of the day, everything you're still saying is a-okay.
Yeah.
Because like, you know what we're talking about, it's like some of this like learning how to trust people. I've also been a person who had like no boundaries growing up, and I was just this small town extrovert who knew no strangers, and I probably always told people everything about me, you know. But I recognize now people don't have your interests at heart, and a bunch of them are in your own fucking office, and some of them are your friends before, you know, and people just put things out of context. So even when like green rooms get jammed up, I'm like even protective of things where it's like, oh, I need to be able to hear myself think, and I don't know you. And I also am that person that like loves meeting new people constantly. That's been my whole jam. But being able to be like, hey, sometimes you're not going to be able to talk to everyone, Hannah, and you got to kind of just create a nest of like whatever, and even if this means people think you're sort of a bitch, well, that's fine. They were going to think that anyway, even if you let them in the fucking room. So, like, don't, you know?
Yeah, I'm also a fan of meeting new people, but it has to be under, like, the correct circumstances. Yeah. And I have to, like, have the energy and and be prepared for it. Yeah. Like, I go out to the merch table, I say hi, I take pictures with everybody and stuff like that. But I have to, when I come off stage, I need a few minutes to just breathe and like recollect myself. And like, I'm mentally preparing to like, okay, now you're going to go talk to everybody and you're going to have to interact, and then you're going to suck at it and you're going to be awkward, but it'll be fine. And then I just go do it.
Yeah. It's the surprise meetings. Like the like you're about to have a show and then it's like, hey, here's four comics that want to meet you, and it's like,
yeah,
it's a huge time. Energy expense when you need to be charging up for the show. Yeah. It's all gonna be under the right circumstances. But I think so many folks don't put them when they're excited to meet you, and they're excited to meet you, you know, when you're at Smokes and Jokes. And it's like But they,
Matt Taylor got so much promo that I can't even.
But they want that moment, you know? They're not thinking of the mindset you're in. They want that moment because they're thrilled to be in the club, in the green room. And it's like, I think most people are well intentioned, but it's like timing is everything.
Yeah. Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Especially with someone who is socially anxious. You gotta take some consideration in for other people.
Exactly. Right.
It's one of those like fucking like read the room or like know the room that you're going into if you're gonna force your way into a room.
Read the pamphlet before you go into the office, you idiot.
Do you even know what you're applying for, sir? How'd you get in here? I see your tits. Okay, I get it. He's over there. He's ready for you.
No. Keep them away from me, too.
Same. Same. And that's the thing where I've even not even been in such a hurry to all this to happen because it feels like an inevitability. Because like, even at a small level, my whole life since little, I've not been a failure to be seen or heard. I've stuck out. So it's like even the things that kind of feel traumatic to me were things that created a human being that has just like these different facets, you know, but it's just different, you know, and just like even recognizing, like figuring out like how I even want to talk to comics after. Not that I want to like ever be that person that's like mincing my words and being like, well, here's what I have to say. But I just, like I said, I've just been talking out my asshole for too long. And people don't like how, like we said, they don't care to even have context.
That's where the flow is from.
This is also a wellspring that will never run dry, folks. Like, we're okay. Just connected.
But I'm with you. One thing that you said earlier did resonate with me. Like, a no tonight is not a no forever. But I think people feel that. And I think almost every stage where it feels like a door is closed because this business is so fluid and it's ever changing, and you hear that no and people get scared, and it's learning not to be afraid of that no. Like you said, 3 weeks ago or a number of weeks ago, you weren't in this scene and now you're here, and then we reconnected because of this, and who knows down the road. And it's really learning to like let go of some of the stress and anxiety, but I know people want it so bad now, and it's tough.
That's how I felt in like Minneapolis. I was so like at times I'd be so concerned on about other people's plates, but I'm like, well, why? And then people would be like no to me a lot, and it's just at some point it's like I'm just gonna focus on my own plate unless I have something to put on someone's plate. I'm just gonna focus on me. I'm just gonna grind. I'm just gonna work, and then by chance I met him.
Yeah.
but all the no's that I had gotten before, like y'all said, it wasn't. It's not.
And that wasn't by chance. Yeah. That's what you got to start realizing at some point. Either everything's by chance or nothing's by chance, which means every domino, good and bad in our lives, has had to fall exactly the way that it did. Whatever that spatter pattern looks like, whether you want to make peace with your dad or whatever it is, doesn't matter. It still has to go just like this for all of us to be sitting here. And that's beautiful. But for you, it's like, no, you just took all the distractions out and you were able to like clearly see something. Yeah. And that's the cool thing. Like I last year got to the place online where I was like, man, every time I'm getting on the internet, within 5 minutes, I feel gross. I feel like, I feel, you know, not only people just sharing alternate opinions, which is fine, but also just like being in competition with my peers. I'd see other people's calendars and I'd be like, oh no, I'm not doing enough. Like you're talking. Mm. But then I had to take those moments to slow down and go, Hannah, you can't stand on more than one stage at a time, can you? So why don't you be satisfied with what you've got coming in?
Yeah.
And I took another step further, which is like, it's kind of made me feel like I'm like very out of the loop at work. But I've, for my own sanity and meditation and being on the road and feeling good, it's great, great. But last year I went through and I looked at my followers list, especially on IG, or like, you know, who I'm following. I unfollowed even the people I look up to that I like and I want to work with one day. Every comic and celebrity that I did not know personally or that I was not a real super fan of, you know, like, that's fine. If I want to follow Bieber, I will. You know, I'm invested in him. I've gone to 2 concerts. I have 3 t-shirts. You know, it's like, I think people are waiting for me to die so they can have my books and Bieber shirts. They're like, please, God, let her go. But you know what we're talking about. But I went in through and unfollowed because I thought, oh, you know what? As I meet every one of these people, I'll follow them in that moment. And then I know I won't get lost because when I actually meet them somewhere on the road, then they actually follow me back instead of me just following someone. And then in 10 years, I'm going to meet Ali Wong. It, because like what happens is, you know, I see what they're doing. And, you know, we're at this place where the levels at work are insane of life where it's like you might be at the highest of the highs. But, you know, I'll show you 50 other comics that got a just where it's like, I forgot we could even do those things.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Like Kevin Hart on every commercial. It's like at somewhere that was a standout. Yeah. And now it's a. That's a bona fide celebrity, you know, and I'm watching these people online and feeling like I'm not doing enough, even though they've been in 25 years and have teams that do all these things. And so it's like, it got to feeling fucked up. And so I just was like, hey, I'm going to do that. And so now my fucking feed is full of people I actually love and know personally. I started like having family pop back up and I recognize it even in a slower sort of a swirl. Like we said, if somehow my following went away tomorrow, it wouldn't feel good. That would suck.
Yeah.
And I'd have to do some building. But everyone that follows me tomorrow would wake up and go,
where's Hannah's account? What did she do to get banned? And is she going to put up? And then what's
talk about that damn flower? Sure.
And then what's the burner?
Once a month. She's always like,
for sure. And what's the burner? But they would look for me because, like, they're here for me. And that's, like, the thing watching you do that at an even higher level is, like, it gives me a lot of peace because I'm like, hey, look. It all pops when it pops. You know, wait for your own blooms, buddy.
Yeah. Well, it pops when it pops. And like that, I'm at that phase now where like I'm looking or like I'll look around and be like, okay, who else is doing something cool that like I can build towards doing next? Because I still don't have like full teams. Like I have a manager now who's doing fucking awesome. Fucking yes.
Shout out Jonathan.
But I still don't have like an agent that's helping with those stuff. So like I've got all those dates on the calendar, but that's, you know, like me and Jonathan and like co-headlining like shows with Cam, like adding stuff like however we can. So and I get like, there's people online like getting frustrated, you know, like, oh, like why aren't you coming here? I'm working on it. Wow. I'm doing everything in my power and trying to figure out how to get to that next step where somebody else is helping set those things up so I can get everywhere. So if you're watching, I'll fucking be there, dude. I'm working on it.
You're one man.
Yes. But look, we got to go work on it right now, dude. Let's.
Because I'm with you, like I'm at the point where you see the people, and I'm as guilty of as anybody. You post your shows not because you're advertising the show; it's the audience, those other comics. Look at me, I'm bookable. Look at me, what I'm doing, and it is a big part of it. But I guess at every level, we all have our different comparison points. And I guess for you now, do you still feel that you have some of the same anxieties and fears that you did when you were at our place in our career, or has some of that gone away? Has it morphed?
I think it's morphed. Like I was always like, when I was like open mic level and like working my way up and like starting to like feature and stuff like that, I was always like worried, like, am I funny enough to be here? Right. So like I had that like internal like chip on my shoulder of like, I've got to make sure I'm funny enough to be where I'm at.
Yeah.
And so I kind of took that as like that challenge everywhere. And then now it's like I've gotten enough like positive reinforcement and like things like that, like that confidence wise, like I've reached like certain confidence like checkpoints where it's like I'll never fall back below that level of like confidence in my ability to be funny. And so now it's like the focus is shifted. Now I stress more about like, you know, am I making enough on like this trip to be able to pay everybody? Like, am I going to be able to cover the expenses? Like, are we going to get like the like good footage for social media to keep the train rolling kind of thing? So now it's more like I worry more about those things, but that's also because like I'm trying to build like a sustainable empire.
Yeah,
you know, like I'm trying to build something that we branches out and we can find that balance of, because we've got a good team of people working on stuff with us, and we can branch out and do like, hey, we like, let's make some sketches, let's you know, let's work on this like this movie or this other thing, and like kind of build like a network where it's all the people that I love and find funny all doing stuff together and kind of doing what we want. And we've got like a sustainable way to do that and go about that, that just continues to work over time.
It's so cool to be a part of like the, like watching it build too.
It's so rad. If you come in at seed level, there's nothing more powerful. You're invested, you know, and we have to make amendments to the soil. And sometimes like I've had plants that like don't do anything for like 2 years. And I'm like, buddy, what's wrong with you? And then pop, you know, but like that's the potential of... You know, that's, is this me or whatever?
Do you know about gardening?
My husband's a big gardener. He's, well, we have 3 plants. I don't.
I had 100 at one point, and then I started being on the road so much, they just were like, every week I'd come home and 3 were dead, and I'm like, you fucking Calathea.
Dude, our podcast plants are outside right now because we've been on the road so much they were dead. I was like, I got to let you guys get outside, get some water.
At some point, you turn into a bad dad. You're like, bro, I'm sorry about this. Like, I'm just like weeping into orchids. Like, mommy, sorry. You know, I couldn't get
just... And your neighbor doesn't have any water to water them. So she's no use. It's so cool to hear that vision, though, that you have and that you're building towards, and that you get to be a part of it. And It's just
I love it. And, you know, even meeting them, it's like I'm at that place where for the past couple of years, I'll just say transparently, I've very quietly dealt with heavy imposter syndrome myself.
Oh, God. Mm-hmm.
Getting, you know, without management myself, passed at two of the best clubs in the States and wiggling around like he's talking about. Putting our dates together while going out against people with TikTok followings and, you know, having to say, hey, take a chance on me, you know, nobody from Indiana who's like kind of polarizing in the way I do comedy and my stances. It's like, I get it, but it's insane. But it's been beautiful because, like, even working with them, you know, sometimes the cool things about comedy is that, like, we don't take an exam every year and be like, here's what we learned as first years.
Yeah.
Here's, put your personal recommendations in your folders and show us what you know about theory and show us your participation. No, it can be anything. But there's little ways I can always see when I'm out and about where it's like that level up or I've grown in some ways and where you can't return back to a certain baseline. So, like, even working with them, putting to death some of that imposter syndrome by working with people I look up to and I know are not fucking on some bullshit.
Yeah.
Being seen by them, it put me at a baseline where, like, oh, from now on, it fed my spirit more. It made me feel like I saw 2 years very clearly. And it's like, I've seen it in, I mean, I get moved to tears by my own life all the time. It's beautiful and thankful and cool.
Yeah. Hello. Hannah's whole life is her smoke and jokes.
God damn it! I'll never live it down. I'll never.
No, you really.
I hate that I said it how I said it.
Not too late. I love what you did.
I love the saying. I love the saying "moved to tears by my own life" because that can be the most optimistic or the most depressive sentence in whatever context.
Well, you're fine with me. It's your choice.
Yeah.
Because I even know what people like my audiences. I don't write for others because I recognize most of the time people don't even know what they want. So, like, and I'm just, like, dealing with individual senses of humor, which I know are so unique. They're as unique as our fingerprints. Like, yeah, we can all agree that XYZ people are, like, funny. But even those people got 100 people on every post going, fucking die.
Oh, yeah.
You're the worst comic I've ever heard, if not worse. So it's like, that's how peculiar these sensibilities are. So I'm going to die by my own joke book.
Oh, I have tons of those. I have comments constantly that are like, you're the best comic I've ever seen. And then right under that is a comic that's like, oh, you should die.
Jeez.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you know it hurts them, so why do you keep posting? Cut it out.
I'll try my best, you know.
It's brutal.
It'd be your own people.
It's brutal. It's savage out there, but.
The thing you said about, am I funny enough to be here, hit so hard.
Mm-hmm.
That's, oh man. That
imposter syndrome.
It's brutal.
And like you said, there's no exam. Like, it always feels like there is some moment where you're going to get some sort of legitimate, I can say I'm a comedian, or, you know, it's, you really have to give yourself permission to do this and to do it how you want. And if you don't, like, yeah, it's. The number of spaces I've been in, it's just like, do I have green rooms?
No,
even last night I was in the green room at Zany's, and I'm booked on that show, and there's still that feeling of like, how am I here? What am I, should I be here? Like, yeah. It's a funny game to play, and knowing when to advocate for yourself. But also, we were talking about like aggressive versus the right ways to do something and how to rationalize with no. But last night in the green room at Zany's, I asked about like a future show I want to be involved with, and I got a no to that one because it wasn't, the setup wasn't right for it, and then it led to another booking immediately, another yes. So you just have to know, like, put yourself in those spaces and behave.
It was a no but.
A no but, which is the classic improv rule.
Yeah. No but.
No but.
No but. Bedroom rule too.
Oh right.
No but. No but. You either way, figure it out.
But yeah, it's just figuring out those spaces is so daunting. So because sometimes you're in the back of the third coast, just looking at each other, going, "What are we doing here?"
Oh, I know. Oh, I said that. Even when you feel good, it's hard.
On a Monday.
Sometimes it's just a fever dream.
Sometimes it feels like that. Like, sometimes I'll have like a little puff outside and I'll walk in and I'll look at you and I'm like, the light's red, like everything.
You come in midway through a joke that's feels not like a joke.
Feels like a bad episode of Euphoria.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
None of the party.
Someone's ODing outside. Oh.
Yeah, but on none of the good drugs.
No. Yeah, no, no.
Just it's like Delta 9 from a gas station.
On bath salts.
It's just you two in the outside the place in Portland. Getting shuffled down the street.
Move along.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry, were we bothering you outside of this vacant building? That was the best part. It was an empty, like, I literally, I was like, oh, this is an empty building, so if I'm here, I'm not bothering anybody. Jeez. I'm just out of the rain, under, like, a little cover. And they were like, not today.
Yeah. Go and get it.
Anyway, I think we gotta wrap up.
We do have to wrap up.
That's all for today.
Do you have anything? Do you have a sign-off or something?
Yeah. No, but do you have anything that you want to plug, like your socials, any dates?
Oh, I'm Sean Flanagan, SeanFlanagan comedy on Instagram and on YouTube. This weekend I'm at the Vail Comedy Festival. I'm at Zany's The Lab next weekend. And then June 20th, there's a pride show at Zany's The Lab, because if you didn't pick it up from before, I am a homosexual. I'm like Sydney.
God damn it. Join the Patreon. You guys have been great. Thanks for chilling with us at the Tard Yard. Patreon.com/TardationNation.
Yes. See you next week and see you on the road.
Konnichiwa.
Konnichiwa. Konnichiwa, bitches.
Say it.
Wait, can I say that one?
Yeah, you can.
Yeah, okay, that one you're allowed. Just not with the hard one.
I love when I said gook, though, when we did the first podcast, and she goes, out loud, she goes, I'm glad to know I can't say that, because I just might have, and I was like, no,
I thought about saying it, but then my brain was like, hang on.
What in tarnation?